Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you all to our Q3 2024 earnings call. Our CEO, Kruno Crepulja, and our CFO, David Dreyfus, will walk you through our presentation and give you an update on our current business performance and our outlook. As usual, this will be followed by a Q&A session. With this, I would like to hand over directly to Kruno.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining our Q3 earnings call. Instone has once again delivered a very solid performance in the third quarter in what remains a challenging environment. The results also show that we are well on track to achieve our full year 2024 targets. The market recovery continues, and we are also seeing really encouraging momentum, especially after the summer break. The market is still showing a differentiated picture, but we have seen a noticeable pickup in demand in our retail business, especially since September. Investor sentiment is improving, which is certainly a result of the noticeable decline in interest rates from peak levels and a rising awareness that prices for new builds have bottomed out. Retail sales have already recovered quite significantly from the previous year's lows, driven in particular by buy-to-let investors, but the share of owner-occupiers has also started to rise again. Institutional investors, however, are generally still being cautious. Nevertheless, we are in talks on a number of deals, and we are confident that we will achieve the signing of at least one additional institutional deal by the end of the year. When we look at our business performance in the first 9 months, I would also like to highlight our strong cash generation. We achieved an operating cash flow of 127.1 million, which helps to further strengthen our balance sheet. Our financial leverage is very low, with an LTC of only 8.8%, and we have a substantial cash position of around 270 million. This puts us in a very good position to invest in future growth at the trough of the market. Let's now take a brief look at our financial KPIs for the 9 months of 2024. Our adjusted revenues amounted to 384.5 million euros, slightly below previous year's level, but fully in line with our expectations. Our gross margin remains at a high level of 24.2%, which is well within our budget. We continue to view our margin as perhaps the best indicator of our operational excellence and leading profitability. We believe that we are a cost leader with our own in-house construction management. Also, our high level of discipline in property acquisition is reflected in this margin. Our adjusted earnings after tax amounted to 29 million euros, which means that we have already almost reached the lower end of our full year guidance. Finally, our sales, which reached 156.6 million, corresponding to an increase of more than 70% compared to the previous year. We expect a significant acceleration in the final quarter. Against the backdrop of our very solid business performance in the first 9 months, we are also reiterating our guidance for the full year 2024. We expect revenues to be more in the lower half of the forecast range, but adjusted earnings to be well within the range of 30 million-40 million euros, as we see a slight upside to our margin target of 22%. With our expectation of a strong fourth quarter, the sales target of 300 million euros is also realistic. Moving on to slide 4 in our presentation. As usual, the upper chart shows the development of our retail sales. The recovery in demand is gathering pace. While you can already see from the chart that our sales ratio has continuously improved in recent weeks, it still does not give the full picture. The accumulated number of reservations and notary appointments as the most important lead indicator is at its highest level since mid-2022. This is a good indicator for a very promising development of the sales ratio in the coming weeks, which already rose to 1.7% in the last week. Accordingly, we expect a strong Q4 in our retail business. By the end of the third quarter, our retail sales have already increased by more than 100% from previous year's trough levels to around 89 million euros. We observe that investor sentiment has improved considerably over the past month. The decline in long-term interest rates from peak levels, the rising awareness that property prices, especially for new builds in good quality locations, have bottomed out, in combination with rising rents and wages, are the key driver for this. The Growth Opportunities Act has created a very attractive support scheme for buy-to-let investors. The regulatory framework is quite complex, and it has taken time for demand effects to materialize. Also the supply side needed time to bring products onto the market that benefit from the full subsidy with an initial tax depreciation of 10%, providing very attractive post-tax returns. We will start selling the first products that benefit from the maximum tax incentive in due course. However, we are already seeing the first positive effects in the sale of our current projects, which also benefit from the increased aggressive depreciation of 5%. Turning to our institutional business. The market remains challenging, although interest is clearly increasing. Nevertheless, as already mentioned, we are currently negotiating various projects, and we are confident that we will be able to close at least one additional transaction by the end of this year. Against this backdrop, we remain confident that we will achieve our sales target of at least 300 million in 2024, which implies a strong seasonality in the fourth quarter. On the following slides, five and six, we provide you with an overview of relevant macro indicators for our business. An important development in recent quarters has certainly been the stabilization of prices for new builds. There are clear indications that prices in metropolitan areas have already bottomed out. In addition to the fact that prices are an important value driver for our business, the end of deflationary pressures also, as already mentioned, a generally very important factor for the uptick in demand. New build apartments remain the first choice for investors, also due to superior rental developments. I'll come back to this in a minute. The chart at the bottom of this slide illustrates construction price inflation over time. The most recent data from the Federal Statistical Office confirm a continuation of the trend of the last few quarters with a moderate CPI growth. However, we believe that the market is actually showing a more differentiated picture. According to our own on-the-ground experience, the cost increase is very low, if any. The demand for construction work is rather low right now, especially for larger projects, and we clearly are benefiting from this. All of our construction projects are on budget. As already pointed out, the continuous dynamic rental growth in the German residential market, combined with the widening demand-supply gap, is a key factor for the rise in property yields and stabilization of residential house prices. With the combination of continued dynamic rental growth and the moderate price correction from peak levels, has brought back property yields also for new builds close to their long-term average. The data from Bulwiengesa on the left-hand side of this slide illustrates the very dynamic rent development for the top seven cities in the past years, with an additional acceleration as the shortage in the German housing market continues to rise. The scenario analysis on the right-hand side of this slide shows the change in affordability since the start of the crisis. Based on this analysis, with the development of key input factors, we wanted to demonstrate that after the interest rate shock, the market has now adjusted in such a way that, firstly, buying is again cheaper than renting, with rental yields exceeding mortgage rates, and secondly, affordability has not yet returned to the level of 2022, but the difference is not as large as it was 18 months-24 months ago. The mortgage ratio for new builds as a percentage of disposable income is lower than the rent ratio. This is due to a combination of a moderate price correction, i.e., a lower purchase price, a lower level of debt required, and interest rates that have come down from their peak level, as well as dynamic rent growth and some wage inflation. This includes an initial debt repayment of 2%. The monthly mortgage rate charge has increased in absolute terms, but taking into account the wage growth, the delta looks manageable for large parts of German households. This is a scenario analysis from the perspective of owner-occupiers. Buy-to-let investors, as the other important private customer group, benefit substantially from the support provided by the Growth Opportunities Act, which is due to the possibility depreciation offers very attractive double-digit post-tax returns in the first years. While the institutional market is still difficult overall, subsidized social housing has developed into an attractive product category also for institutional investors in some federal states, thanks to improved support conditions. We are clearly benefiting from this. Moving on to slide seven. As discussed in previous earnings calls, Instone has weathered the crisis very well based on its strong balance sheet, leading margins, and a high pre-sales ratio. The latter has provided a sound basis for earnings and cash flow visibility and has therefore clearly helped to de-risk our business. To give you just a brief update on this, projects worth 2.9 billion euros are currently under construction, of which 91% have already been sold. This provides a stable source of future revenues of more than 440 million euros, as well as secure future cash flows of more than 200 million. Over the past quarters, we have already generated substantial cash flows from the pre-sold projects under construction, as David will highlight on the following slides. As soon as the market reopens more broadly, we will be able to accelerate our sales significantly with an existing land bank project with building rights of around 1.7 billion euros. I would now like to hand over to David for the financial section of the presentation.
Thank you, Kruno. Let me now walk you through our Q3 financials in a bit more detail, starting on page nine. As Kruno has already mentioned, we are pleased to have delivered another very solid set of results that put us well on track to meet our full-year targets. In line with our expectations, our adjusted revenues are slightly below previous year's level, mainly due to the expected lower construction output. We have continued to deliver high gross margins of 24.2%. As indicated in previous calls, the margin in the second half of 2024 is, as expected, slightly lower than in H1, mainly due to a change in the revenue mix. Nevertheless, we are very much on track for the full year 2024, and the risk to our margin target is more on the upside. Compared to other listed companies with exposure to German residential development, it is clear that we set the benchmark in our industry in terms of profitability. This is no coincidence, but rather the result of our structural competitive advantages, as Kruno has mentioned, such as our in-house construction management and our expertise, as well as discipline in land purchasing. Additionally, we clearly also benefit from the fact that we do not suffer from any financial pressure. Our platform costs have increased, driven by one-time effects such as the share-based provisions for our management LTIP. Our underlying platform costs are in line with our full-year target of around 70 million euros. This is a result of our implemented cost-saving measures, including our staff costs, which, for instance, have decreased by around 8% year-on-year. Further down in the income statement, we show a significant improvement of our interest result. This is mainly due to a higher share of project-related capitalization of financing and a substantial reduction in net debt. At the end of the third quarter, net debt was down by more than 160 million year on year. We achieved an adjusted earnings after tax of 29 million euros. While this result cannot be extrapolated, it should nevertheless provide comfort that we will ultimately be well within our forecast range of 30 to 40 million euros for 2024. Over to page 10. In the past, we have repeatedly highlighted our predictable cash flows from pre-sold projects under construction as a particular strength of Instone, especially in the current environment. You can now see how these cash flows are actually materializing. With a high operating cash flow of 127 million euros in the first 9 months, we were able to further strengthen our balance sheet. Our LTC dropped to a very low level of only 8.8% at the end of the quarter. Despite the lower earnings level in the current phase of the cycle, net debt to EBITDA is now only at 1.5 times. This gives us ample headroom for acquisitions in an attractive competitive environment. Having signed the first two bargain transactions in the first half of the year, we are currently in negotiations for a number of additional land acquisitions. In the current market environment, transactions take time. As we have often said in the past, we actually expected 2025 to be an even better year for acquisitions, with increasing supply on the market, including an expected increase in distressed sellers. We are definitely well prepared to take advantage of these opportunities when they arise, and we are keeping our powder dry. We would also like to see a further improvement in demand in the institutional transaction market before making acquisitions on a larger scale. We will not abandon our strategic strength of a strong balance sheet. This will remain a key pillar of our business strategy. Moving to the next slide. Our strong cash generation, with an operating cash flow of 127 million, as just mentioned, euros, is shown in the table on the left-hand side. In addition to the strong cash inflows, especially from milestone payments, our continued selective approach to acquisitions is, of course, a key driver for this development. We have a very strong liquidity position of almost 270 million euros. And a significant net cash position at group level, i.e., if we would deduct our outstanding corporate debt from our cash, we would still have substantial net cash available on group level. In addition, we have access to revolving credit facilities totaling around 160 million euros. Furthermore, we also have contractually secured undrawn project finance lines of more than 160 million euros for our projects under construction. Chart 12 gives us an overview of our financing structure. We have repaid liabilities of 35 million due in 2024 from our existing liquidity. Overall, we have a very balanced remaining maturity profile with only low refinancing volumes in individual years, which also contributes to our strong financial profile. Finally, coming to our outlook on page 13, as already mentioned, based on our very solid performance in the first 9 months of 2024 and the currently anticipated acceleration of our sales activities, we are convinced that we are well on track to achieve our full-year targets, which are summarized in the table. To add somewhat more color to this, we actually expect revenues to be in the lower half of the guidance range, but we anticipate earnings to be well within the range as we see a slight upside to our margin target. With this, I would like to conclude the presentation and move on to the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. Our first question comes from Thomas Rothäusler from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Morning, all. Yes, couple of questions. The first one is actually on a rather recent topic, the current government troubles, and any ideas about, you know, potential impacts on your side? That would be the first one.
Hi, Thomas. Yes, Kruno speaking. So from our perspective, when we talk to the different parties regarding, you know, necessity to increase residential spaces in Germany, I think it's clear that all the parties see the necessity to it. Will there be any, let's say, significant change in behavior? I think that Christ Democrats will further push trying to increase volume and let's say to increase the supply of flats from our perspective. So overall, I would say the situation could be positive for us, and I think it's minimally neutral. So that will be my personal first feeling. But it's only stomach.
Okay.
Maybe just to add, Thomas, I think overall, you know, the economic pressure, yes, due to nothing happening on the government level, you know, through a change in government will hopefully unveil that we will see some upside to the economy, which would be absolutely appreciated also from our end.
And any idea on, you know, like rent regulation, or could there be any element for you relevant? Just thinking, roughly thinking about.
So regarding, I think that due to the fact that we are expecting, let's say, a voting progress, I don't think that there will be relaxation on rent price regulation from my perspective. Mm. But you know that new built properties are not part of the rent price regulation in, let's say, the Mietpreisbremse.
Yeah.
So therefore, clearly, I think, you know, the appetite of investors is still focused on new builds, due to the fact that rent price regulation is not really cutting through here. And I don't believe that, you know, Christ Democrats will put this on their agenda. That wouldn't be really popular, I would say.
Yeah, agree. Great. The second one is, I mean, just looking, maybe roughly looking into next year, just wondering what's your view, especially with regards to sales activity. You know, I know it's very early. You don't provide a guidance yet, but just a rough rough year? I mean, I think you referred to a significant upside, what you said, for sales, should the market reopen more broadly. You know, so what is your expectation here for next year?
Yeah. So let's try to maybe look at the years before the crisis. There we had, you know, sales volumes being above 1 billion in the peak, mainly driven by institutional sales. Roughly 60% to 70% of it. And when we look at 2025, I would say that, you know, owner-occupier business is coming back to a level from sales speed perspective from last weeks on the level which we have seen before the crisis. The same for buy-to-let investors. And they will be additionally pushed by the Growth Opportunity Act because it's significantly more attractive today to buy a flat if you can benefit from both aggressive depreciation programs than in the past. Also from yield perspective, return on equity, etc. So therefore, this is still more attractive. But on the other hand, I think that the institutional market won't come fully back. So this was the strongest, if you the strongest sales channel in the past. So it's hard for us to predict if today a detailed number. I think we have to wait a bit to see how the institutional market's coming back. What I can say is that we will have a significantly higher sales volume in 2025 than this year. But to be more precise, we need some time, and you have to wait for the guidance next year.
What would you say? What's the preconditions for the institutes to come back? I mean, we saw one of your listed peers yesterday announcing to restart new projects, basically. Yeah, I mean, what do you think we need to get more demand from institutes?
So we are currently, you know, in discussion with institutional buyers, and we are preparing the one or the other sale for this year, and we are very confident to get there. I think when we look at our portfolio and, you know, the multipliers we have calculated, etc., I think these are in line with the expectation of institutional buyers. The institutional buyers have the different groups of institutional buyers have different issues. The pension funds, for example, have invested a significant portion into offices in the past. They are currently struggling with, you know, overall write-off necessities. Then you have the funds like PATRIZIA, for example. They have suffered from outflows. Now we see that part of the money is coming back. But it will take time for them, not regarding, you know, the yield expectation, more like cleaning up their portfolio. On one hand, getting the confidence of investors back that it's the right moment now to invest when the prices are going through the trough and there is potential HPI growth in the future. But all this will take time from our perspective. And the other thing which could, of course, accelerate the speed of a market rebound are the interest rates. But it's now with, you know, the result we in US, it's difficult to forecast let's say a very sharp interest of cost decrease in the coming years, so we will see. But this could be, you know, the driver that could significantly the volume. back, because then additionally to that the yields are quite attractive, the investment alternatives investors have are decreasing massively then. So, but it's hard, very hard for me to make a forecast today. What we clearly see is that, you know, the appetite or the interest of investors has come back. And what we also see is that the price levels we are offering our product meets the expectation of investors. So, so these are two very positive things, but again, it will take time.
Great, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Andre Remke from Baader Bank AG. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sirs. Thanks for the presentation and especially your comment on gross margins, that there is upside pressure on your outlook. But maybe looking into the upcoming quarters beyond the fourth quarter, where you potentially see a lower gross margin, will the margin afterwards then stay on that lower level for the quarters to come? Just probably as a kind of indication, as you did not provide the guidance for next year, of course, just to get a feeling on that.
André, thank you for your question. It's David. We see that the margin, the gross margin from our historic levels of 25 will come down a bit in the future due to the fact that in the future we have more product, we expect more product to come from new, which has a lower gross margin, as you're aware. So that mix will change. And number two, our pipeline that we have will also have a slightly lower gross margin than we have seen in the past due to the construction price inflation.
Yeah. Maybe one additional comment from my side. So this, of course, is reflecting the current portfolio. The projects we are adding to the current portfolio, and this also is the same for the two projects we recently bought in Frankfurt and in Düsseldorf, they have significantly higher margins. So looking at the existing portfolio, David is absolutely right, but I also believe that in the next 2 years or 3 years, the projects we are purchasing, they will have significantly higher margins due to the stress in the market, where we can really benefit from the current market environment.
Mm-hmm. So although maybe as a curve in the short term, that means you will see the margin coming down a bit, and then, you know, medium term it will increase again.
And very difficult question, because first you have to buy that, but from your current negotiation, if you are saying significantly higher margin, would you come up then again with within the range of 25% or for the overall business?
So I have to say that, you know, through the cycle, through all the cycles, I would say in average, the gross margin of Instone should be on a level of 23, roughly. And you will have time periods where we will be higher, and in weaker scenarios you could be a bit below that. But as David said, I think for the coming quarters, where the influence of the high margin projects in the distress situation will have only a very limited impact, but of course for the next 2-3 years. There could be a benefit above the 23% of through the cycle gross margin.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much. Then you are in talks with a number of institutional deals you mentioned. Could you provide any indication on the range of the project volumes?
Possibly to give you some idea of split between private and retail, you could assume somewhere for the last quarter, somewhere between 60 and 40%. So 60% institutional, 40 on the retail side. But this is a rough indication, as we have, you know, we have obviously not full clarity if we do one, two, or three institutional deals, and then, you know, the mix can change substantially.
Yeah. What I meant was especially the institutional deals. What is the range you are discussing at the moment? Starting with only 20 million up to 100, or is it more towards 100 million? So just to give us a feeling how the magnitude could be.
So it is within the lower range. It will be below 100 million.
Okay, that's from my side. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Thomas Newhold from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks a lot for the presentation, taking my questions. I basically have two. Firstly, coming back to the margin question, can you share with us your expectations about the construction cost development in the next couple of quarters?
Hi, Thomas. Sure. I think for let's say what we see currently on the ground is that we have a sideward development. And I also believe that this could be further the scenario for the coming quarters, depending on, let's say, the overall situation in the Ukraine. The pressure on the construction companies, on those who are not as diversified to also, you know, have industrial construction activities, is further increasing because the number of orders coming in is still diluted by the overall market situation. So therefore, I think, you know, we have said the last time that we expect for next year a cost price inflation of 3-4%. It could be a bit lower depending on the overall Ukrainian situation. What I mean with that, if the war stops there, of course, then you have a lot of construction activities necessary, and this will also have a big influence in capacities in Germany, because we have many companies coming from the eastern part of Europe working here, and therefore I think there will be some competition here going forward.
Okay, thanks. And the second question would be on your potential acquisition pipeline. Can you provide some color there? And can you also give us some indication of kind of target acquisition volume are you looking at for the next 12 to 18 months?
Sure. So the acquisition pipeline we are currently working on is significant. So we are talking about, you know, 5 to 6 billion in different stages and different sizes of projects. I think the current issue is that, and this is not only, let's say, based on acquisition, it's also right of necessities of companies. We are still not, let's say, we are not still in the reality. So the people are still asking, from our perspective, too much, too high values, and they have to accept that the reality is different. But this takes time. You know, the people, when you look at the insolvencies we've seen, and now I think we have one famous developer from Leipzig who is also going bust. Here, it's clear what is the reality. And for the other processes, the people are trying to, let's say, defend their really good projects, fighting to the end. But from our perspective, the pressure on these developers and landowners will further increase in the next 12 to 18 months. We are staying here very disciplined. So we have bought two projects. We could buy more, but we are not still not, I would say, in our negotiations, not on the right level. So if we reach the right level, we will further buy. And for the next 12 to 18 months, our target is to purchase land in the GDV volume of 1.5 billion-2 billion. But we are not under pressure, so therefore, we will be very, very focused and pick out the right investment chances.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Manuel Martin from ODDO BHF. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. Two questions from my side. Follow-up question on your pipeline and insolvencies. How do you see the further involvement of insolvencies in Germany? Do you think we found a trough and it's getting better, or is it becoming worse? That would be the first question.
Yeah. Hi. So what we are currently, let's say, in our discussion we have with the market participants, including the banks, we think that the next six to 12 months, there will be the necessity for landowners and developers to put in more equity, clearly, because the right-of necessity is not fully and transparently booked. So therefore, I think it's hard now to say, will it be more, a higher number? I believe that it will be still a higher number than what we have seen in the last 6 months to come. The stress is there, and it will further increase. The banks are obliged by not only Basel III, but also by BaFin to ask for more equity. And this will then put pressure, more pressure. And this is the situations we are waiting for.
Okay. I see. My second question, last question would be on construction costs. It's a rather strategic question. Maybe have you thought about implementing also serial housing constructions to decrease costs and therefore maybe construction activity would become more active? Is it something which you are evaluating?
Yes, we do. To give you a feeling for, so we, with our affordable housing segment, the new business, we are currently also offering our products to co-ops, for example. And we are asking for a price to give you a feeling for. It includes all the costs except of land costs. And we are offering a product for 2,850 euros per square meter gross, so including VAT, but without a garage floor, which means we are already, as Instone, below 3,000 euros per square meter, which is the target of many of the companies which try to bring in serial construction. So we are already there. And what we are doing currently is to check with which scalability does it make sense to increase further the prefabrication. The issue, the companies, I don't want to say it now any names, but all the companies who are, you know, acting as a future serial producer, they are having problems to get the cost below 3,000 euros per square meter. They are more at the level of 4,000. So it's difficult for them. We are already there with a combination of prefabrication and classical construction. And we want to scale further, and we want to increase then the prefabrication part. But we have this clearly in focus, and we are working here to also check, does it make sense for us to partner with the industry or to build up an own fabric? But these are things we would only do if it makes sense for us and if it's profitable for us.
Okay, I see. So you just need the orders from Madame Geibitz from the government, I suppose.
Yeah, we have started to discuss, you know, with Corps, and we have a very, very positive feedback. So the product is good, the price is excellent. So there is demand. What we have now check is, you know, they have rules like they have to make a process, a tender process, et cetera, et cetera. So these are the hurdles we have to take. But the product itself is great, and we can offer it for a very, very attractive pricing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question comes from Philipp Kaiser from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the presentation. Congrats to the solid performance. Just a quick question left for my side. You mentioned already that you expect the sales volume to be significantly higher next year. Could you give us a guidance on the already the already fixed sales for next year?
Yeah, I can give you a rough number for the revenues which are coming from already sold projects in 25. It's roughly 280 million. That's a rough number. And then, of course, the rest is coming from the sales in the last quarter.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Thanks, Doug. Very helpful. That would be all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Stephen Simro from Simros Capital GmbH. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. One add-on on your own shares. You have around above 7%. Treasury shares, do you plan to increase this position, or could you cancel these shares and then maybe go with the next AGM for another allowance to buy more own shares, since you trade quite a bit below equity per share? Thanks.
Thank you for your question. For the time being, we have no plans to further do any share buyback program, but you know, we will monitor the market and will consider our options going forward.
Do you plan to cancel the shares?
No, not for the time being.
Stephen, do you have any further questions?
No, that just was the point on the treasury shares. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Burkhard Sawatzky for any closing remarks.
Thank you for your participation. If you need further information, please do not hesitate to contact the IR team after the call. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.